This is Roni's Own Radio. Now, Roni's Own Radio is a show where we present views and interviews about everything from God to Star Wars and everything in between, in about 30 minutes. We hope to enlighten, enrage, and engage you by looking at topics from many different angles. You never know what you're going to get with Roni's Own Radio, but it will always be a very, very different podcast. Roni's Own Radio. Check us out at jrdonline.com. And now, on with the show. Hi there, Roni's Own Radio listeners. This is Jeff Roni, and welcome to Roni's Own Radio number 43. And as I was just kind of thinking about this show, I started to think about the friends I've got and the friends I've had over time. And I've never had just thousands of friends, but the friends I have are just some really, really cool people. And you're going to meet one tonight. His name is Chris Sonnenberg. And just by saying that, you know, no one's going to say, oh, I know him. Oh, wow. But as we really get into the discussion, you're going to start to say, I do. Wow. I saw that movie. I've heard of that. I know that. Wow. That's wow. So anyway, we are going to have a talk with him from his humble beginnings in San Bernardino, California, where I was born and escaped. And so did he. And we will tell little stories about us becoming friends and running around with the pack of crazy guys that we hung around with at church, and how we, you know, kind of went our separate ways, and he went his way and I went mine, and what he has been doing for the past number of years. And then we will pick up probably next show of how he got into Disney and how he started doing animation for Disney. And it's just one of the coolest interviews I've ever done. And Chris is a great guy, and I know you're going to love hearing his stories and hearing about him. So, and here we go. Our interview, Roni's Own Radio with Chris Sonnenberg. I have the extreme pleasure of having a good friend on the phone. I have Chris Sonnenberg. Chris, say hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Chris is a multi-talented, multi-faceted kind of guy. So we're going to kind of start at the beginning. Where I actually met up with Chris is in our tainted past in San Bernardino.
Lovely, fashionable San Bernardino, California.
Your family was there, and so we kind of met up. And it was at that point we were kind of hanging around with a bunch of hooligans, Preston Jones, Dave, and John Holmes. One, two, three. Not him. And so, and we were hanging around, and I remember you, Mr. Sonnenberg, were the kind of quiet, aloof type.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I saw a drawing in your room, and I said, okay, this kid has some kind of talent. Now, when did you discover that you could draw?
I guess I'm still kind of discovering that, but I think the first time I discovered or just kind of realized that there was something more to drawing than just scribbling on a peachy was probably, well, you know, I've been drawing ever since I was really little, like, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, just kind of messing around. And then when it got to be a little more serious was like, I guess when I was a freshman in high school, I had an art teacher there that took me under his wing, and we just, you know, he kind of showed me that I could be a little more than just drawing, you know, the stuff from books, and I actually create my own art, and actually was the first person to kind of talk about animation to me. But the first time I really kind of took art and drawing seriously was probably when I was a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's kind of talk generally about animation.
Right.
I think all of us semi-artists just play around. I mean, I think we've all made flip books. Is that sure. What you did to kind of start out with?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's always, you know, the first time, the first animation that I ever did was obviously, you know, like in the corner of my geometry book that I didn't want to read, and I would sit and just do little guys running around on the corner of my textbooks from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first kind of introduction into actual animation. Of course, my mom got me like those little. You put the little keychain up to the light and hit the button, and it would, it would scroll through little pieces of film. And I had little makeshift zoetropes and little flipbooks and stuff. But it had always fascinated me, the whole world of animation. And really, animation as I know it today, I had no idea how anything like that was done when I was in high school. I had no idea how classic, you know, what I do now in classic Disney animation, I had no idea how that was done. You know, as far as I was concerned, that was like puppets or clay. I had no idea what I was even looking at on the screen. But I was always fascinated with little flip books and storytelling. Really, it came from my innate. I know I was really quiet, but I really loved the art of storytelling and the art of being able to tell stories with pictures.
Well, and I want to take one step back and then we'll go forward. I think the funnest time we had was just hearing John tell his stories.
Yeah, of course.
And Preston tell his stories.
Of course.
And, you know, I had a few, and it was just kind of fun just acting silly. And you know, John, I mean, I love to get him on the show. But anyway, he was a character.
Yeah, and I think that my earliest sense, you know, what people really know me for in the industry and kind of connect me with is my great, I'm a really good pitch guy. I can really tell a really good story.
Sure.
And it may not seem that way tonight, but I can tell a really good story. And I, looking back on it, I think some of the people that really influenced me growing up were people like John, that I was just, I could sit and just laugh at that guy. He could tell the most boring, what would start out to be the most boring story, and he could make it so entertaining and hilarious. And I remember just being so impressed and wanted to be like that guy. I wanted to have that much life in my storytelling.
We were very lucky.
Yeah, we were.
We had quite a crew of guys, and it was a magical time. I think on that time a lot. And flash forward to when you were at the L.A.
The California State Institute of the Arts, the short name is CalArts.
Okay, CalArts.
Yeah.
Which is a famous school.
Yes, very. It's one of the most, a little bit of history on CalArts. It was actually started by Walt Disney and his kind of dream of creating an art school where all of the arts could be represented and could be localized so that all of the artists were very influenced by each other. I mean, that was the initial idea behind CalArts, was his vision of bringing all the arts together: dance, theater, animation, film, fine art, being very close together so that all the arts could influence each other. And then beyond that, many years after it started, the studio in Burbank really started to bring a lot of their new talent into the studio from that. And from then on, it has really been, because it is so close to the studios, they do draw a lot of their new talent from the school still.
One more thought about that is CalArts kind of reminds me of the whole Lucasfilm American Zoetrope kind of a think tank where all these elements would come together and influence each other. Was that the same kind of a feeling?
Yeah, certainly. You know, over the years there's been kind of, now I say this, I actually went to CalArts from 1990 to 1993 or 4, early 1993. And so definitely the times have changed since then.
Sure.
But certainly when I was there, there was starting to be a real divide in some of the schools. But we still made it a point in the animation department to really get out there and be a part of the dance classes. And not so much dance, but we would go to the dance classes and sketch and take, we would have actors come in and perform stuff for us, almost like life drawing, but they would be acting out little vignettes and stories that we would actually try and sketch down and try and interpret. So that was really, I think, again, that was some of the first times in my life I was actually putting together drawing and storytelling. You know, like, I knew I wanted to be a storyteller and I knew I liked to draw, but getting to that point at CalArts where there was all these different things, it was the first time that I really started understanding how the two related.
And those are two completely different arts, and if you can do both, that's quite a gift. It really is. Now, what was it like day one going to CalArts big time, stepping into an arena where you felt that you really had achieved something? What was it like being amongst the other artists and animators?
It was really strange. I'll tell you, it was really strange for a couple reasons. One, I was right out of high school.
Right.
I was like 18, coming right out of high school. I had no art school. A lot of my classmates had gone to like 3 years of art school or 3 years of another college and were kind of grown up. And here I was. It was me and another guy were the youngest in our class, and I had never really seen a piece of animation paper. I didn't really know what animation was. Mm. So walking into this, you know, being dropped into this war zone of creativity was, I mean, such a wake-up call. And to be among some of, looking back now, being among some of the most talented people in the, not even in the country, but in the world. I mean,
right.
Some of the guys that were in my class were like Genndy Tartakovsky and Craig McCracken, who created the Powerpuff Girls, and Genndy, who did the, you know, the Clone Wars stuff, and some of my classmates, who I was just like, are you kidding me? I got to be like these guys, you know? Like it was really sobering to kind of like, okay, these guys are messing around. I got to sit down and I got to figure out what I'm doing. So it was really difficult at first, and then as it went on, I got a little more comfortable with the art form and a little more comfortable with my own place in the art form. But those first couple weeks and months were really tough to A, understand what it is that I was supposed to be doing, and then to be among some of the most talented people was really crazy. And then to form relationships with those guys is, you know, was some of the most important times of my life.
Wow. Now, I would imagine at that point there was a lot of camaraderie, and was it kind of a fighting for position at that point for you guys, or were you guys just helping each other out?
One of the things that CalArts is the best at, and you know, I tell this to a lot of parents who bring their kids to the studios and come by, and the kids are all excited about animation. They want to know what school to go to. And I'm like, you know, you could learn animation all around, but really what it comes down to is the people that you meet. I mean, I learned animation at CalArts, but what I really gained was my brothers in the art form. I mean, I met and got to know the people that I will know for the rest of my life those first 3 years in the industry. To say it was competition is to say that, yeah, there was competition. I mean, you definitely wanted to be among the greats there, but again, like, being among the greats of the greats is, you know, is so crazy. The guys that were in my class are just some of the best animators that at some point will ever have lived. I mean, some of these guys are the best in the world. And
sure.
So there is that competition, but at the same time, we were all kind of thrown together and we all kind of helped each other. You know, if one guy didn't quite know, he didn't quite understand a certain concept, there were definitely five other guys there to kind of help him and say, well, you know, this is this concept and this is, you know, this and this. And there was definitely that sense of camaraderie, like you said, that was very, very present there at that time. And we were all, I mean, at that time, that particular class of 1990, in particular, I know there's many, you know, there have been many classes that have come and gone from the school, but I know that class in particular, I was super lucky to be in at that class, but because that class in particular has been very, we've all stayed very tight over the years. I mean, we all, for the most part, we all stay in contact.
That must have been something to be in a group that is just so charged and so talented.
Yeah.
I mean, just the discussions and the work you guys must have just put out must have been
incredible. I mean, the films, I mean, Craig McCracken's Powerpuff Girls was his student film that mm-hmm. year, like our second year.
Wow.
I don't know if anybody's ever gone to the animation festivals, but back in the day, No Neck Joe was really huge. That was his first year film, was No Neck Joe, and then he did the Powerpuff. Back in the day, it was called at school. It was the Whoop-Ass Girls, and the Whoop-Ass Girls were just like, we all were just blown away by it. And little did we know that they were going to become the freaking icon of a network, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Gendy was doing Dexter's Laboratory, and it was just his student film. And again, that blew out and became its own franchise. And so there was such this specific time at the school that really, you know, gave birth to a whole resurgence of animation. And we were right on the cusp of the second golden age of animation. Like, we were, our entire reason for being at the school was because of the success of, like, Little Mermaid and Roger Rabbit, and there was this kind of lull in animation towards the mid-80s and getting towards the end of the 80s, like 89, mm-hmm. 88, 89, 90, it was starting to come back. And then, of course, obviously, when, like, Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and Lion King came out, it was out of control. But we were at the school at a very specific time where, you know, it was a really supercharged time in animation, and then for us to be at a very specific place at a very specific time was, you know, we just completely lucked out.
Tim Burton.
Tim went to CalArts.
Okay.
He was a student there. A lot of people still remember him. Okay. I got to see him a couple times when he came to the school to talk.
He's a very aloof and kind of a mysterious guy, but...
Sure.
I mean, basically, he came up through the ranks just like everybody else.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, a lot of people have. I mean, CalArts is the birthplace of... You know who John Lasseter is.
Sure.
John Lasseter was a student at CalArts around the same time Tim was. I mean, yeah. I know that they're friends, and they kind of came up in the ranks the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn Keane and a lot of the guys, some of the biggest players in animation today, were, you know, the directors of Little Mermaid and Aladdin. John Musker and Ron Clements both went to CalArts, mm-hmm. and I don't know, the laundry list of people that have come out of that school is so long, and Tim Burton's just one of them. He's just another guy that, you know, he's just another alumni that kind of, you know, went through, and he was obviously a little more different than everybody else. His stuff was obviously a little more progressive. A lot of times people go to CalArts with the idea of becoming a Disney traditional animator.
Right.
You know, you want to be Glenn Keane, or you want to be Andreas Dejah, or you want to be James Baxter, you want to be one of these guys. And so you go there for a very specific purpose. And so when there's someone that comes along like Tim Burton, who doesn't necessarily want to be Glenn Keane, they definitely stick out. And he certainly stuck out at the school. And then when he went to Disney, really stuck out. And I think that's what was part of his success, was that he wasn't one of the normal guys. And he had his storytelling style was so unique and fun and different that I think the guys at Disney really recognized that and really fed that.
Sure. Now, we're going to turn a corner and then come into a what I would consider to be a huge leap is when you did work on The Simpsons.
Well, I did work on The Simpsons is to go a little far. I actually, my first production job that I got, I'll go into that in a second. My first real production job, I had interned at Hanna-Barbera for a movie called Cats Don't Dance, and while they were working on Pagemaster. And then right after that, I got a job at a place called Film Roman, where they do The Simpsons, but on a show called The Critic.
Okay.
The Critic was a great show. Mm-hmm. It was a really fun show. It has a really loyal following. Was pretty much one of the best jobs I ever had in animation. It was so much fun. We were kind of flying under the radar. No one was really paying attention to us because, you know, everybody was in love with The Simpsons.
Right.
So we kind of got to do our own thing. We were in the same building, but we were just having a blast. I was learning about animation, learning from some of the greatest directors that had ever worked on The Simpsons, like Rich Moore and some of these guys who were just really amazing directors, television directors and timing guys that you learn so much from. So that was some of the best experience that I had in animation, was just being there again at that time. You know, it was so much fun. And so some of the people that I met on The Critic while we were off on hiatus from The Critic, they were still working on The Simpsons. And so I got a chance to to kind of take a few scenes and work on the Simpsons for a few episodes, and you know, not a whole lot. I couldn't even actually tell you the ones that I worked on, but
gotcha.
It was a really fun time. I know that if I were to go back, I'd probably get on. If I had to go back and work on the show, I'd probably still be there. I know there's a lot of guys that I worked with at the time are still there working mm-hmm. on the movie and doing all kinds of fun stuff.
Okay. What is your favorite all-time cartoon character and why?
Oh, you know, people ask me that, and it's such a hard question because I'm always in a different mood. I'm always, you know, I tend okay. to want to...
Today,
I always
today.
Want to say the one that I'm on at the time.
Okay, all right.
But I will... The guy that I always tend to go back on, not only for his animation, but because of his character, is Pinocchio.
Okay.
Just because he learned such a lesson, but also just because his animation was so great, and mm-hmm. he is such an icon to me. Just his design and his look and his wonder and his innocence, and that whole storyline to me is such a great. It's a great film, and he's such a great little character.
Is Pinocchio your favorite Disney animated film?
I would say it would be the tie between Pinocchio and Sleeping Beauty. It's just a gorgeous color film. I mean, and Cinderella is another beautiful film that was colored by an artist named Mary Blair, who was just one of my, you know, heroes in animation. She just was an amazing design and colorist of the time. Just those, at that time, I would probably say between Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella, both those two films are really amazing.
Two of the greats. Now, okay, tell me the story of how you were hired at Disney.
Well, we're going to stop our interview right there. And Chris is a great guy. And as you can probably tell, there's incredible things coming. And this is just chock full of great information and great moments. So before we go, I do want to let you know that there are a lot of great shows at jrdonline.com. There's, of course, Roni's Own Radio. And there is also Ear Giggles, which is an all-out parody show. And we have a lot of fun with that. And that is available as a download or as a subscribed podcast. And also there is Tatooine TV, which is a Star Wars parody podcast. And it's where we mix icons from today with Star Wars characters. And we just have a lot of crazy fun. So...
Thanks for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and send us some feedback at jeff.roni@gmail.com. And if you're using WinPotter to listen to this podcast, you can always use the feedback form to your left. Until next time, this is Jeff Roni saying see you later. Bye. Roni's Own Radio is a Roni's Own audio production.